The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Signal Hour. So glad to be here with you today. We've got so much to cover today, as usual, because, you know, we only do this once a week, and so much has been happening so quickly. Even though it's August, and August is supposed to be the quiet month, we're all supposed to take it off and go do things like that. Still sporting the beard over here. Hey, Evie, how are you doing today?
I'm well, I think.
You think? Who else? Who
I'm
could we ask?
Around with the puppy. Now I'm all
oh,
hot.
Yeah, we got the puppy thing going on. So
you do.
Today we're going to be talking about two things, really. And one is everything that's merged about Ozempic and what a health disaster that is for a lot of folks, as well as, honestly, it just looks bad. And then the second thing would be this case that just broke in Las Vegas where an Israeli citizen was caught in a pedo sting and spirited right out of the country. So we're going to talk about that because it just, when you peel back the covers a tiny bit on the who's and the what's and the particulars of it, it's disturbing. So let's start with, I'm calling it Ozempic disease. That's where I'm starting.
All right.
Because it is, well, I made predictions a long time ago that sort of people are saying, oh, Ozempic is, you know, really helpful thing for managing weight and all this. And I said, I guarantee you it's going to have these side effects that we didn't know about that over time are going to merge. And it's going to be not just this wonder drug that's awesome that everybody should take because they feel a little heavy, but something that at best ought to be highly constrained in how it's used and not as a chronic thing. Because guess what? Every time we have attempted chronic hormone replacement or adjustment processes medically, it's been a disaster. You know, unless you're replacing something, like if your thyroid is missing and your thyroid hormone is missing, you can replace that exact molecule.
Right.
That can be okay. But I'm saying when you dysregulate a tuned hormone system.
Right. You disrupt those regular systems that manage and govern all sorts of other things in the body.
Yeah.
Then you end up with problems that you might not have imagined.
Every single time.
Hmm.
Obviously, we're speaking to a small group. Because
meat, vegetables, and exercise, correct? Well, we do have a huge amount of processed food here in the U.S.
Oh, it's terrible.
In addition to all sorts of preservatives that they put into our diet.
Did you hear? So Ken Paxton, the AG out of Texas, he won an injunction against Kellogg's, who finally agreed, and I kid you not, this is the precise language, to take toxic additives out of their food.
Like, they finally agreed.
They're going to take toxic additives. All right.
Wow.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Fine.
We'll take the toxic additives out.
That's pretty wild.
All right. Here's what's shaping up. We're seeing more and more stuff like this starting to pop up.
Daily Mail reports this gentleman says, I lost 150 pounds on Ozempic. I'm also losing my mind, memory, sight, speech and hearing. I can barely walk or eat.
You know, I think what happens you know, your friends are on it and your doctor's like, oh yeah, I recommend this. And that's the long and the short of it. But what did we learn from COVID? Like, you can't trust any of that.
Oh, goodness, no.
Not the meme fact, like your friends who are recommending it, they probably just were subjected to pharma ads, like endless pharma ads.
Well, that's the thing. You can't trust that pharma has your best interest at heart. They have their bottom line at heart.
We'll discuss that in just a second. But also doctors. You think, oh, my doctors read the inserts, you know, so they know what's going on with this drug. Well, let's look at that real quick. We don't have to read this, but this is just a few of Ozempic's side effects. And they call them a side effect. A side effect is, it's like, sounds not
like
that
some
bad.
Small nuisance you have
to
put up
with. Yeah, a little thing on the side.
Yeah.
You know?
Acute kidney injury.
Yeah.
Hypoglycemia with concomitant use of insulin, blah, blah, blah. So I guess that probably
Look at this.
Injure all sorts of things.
Risk of thyroid C cell tumors.
Pancreatitis.
Acute kidney injury.
And diabetic retinopathy. I've heard people having issues with their eyes.
Yeah, we'll talk about that because that's something that just came up. So, over 2,000 lawsuits, it turns out.
Wow. Okay. Only that many?
Only that many so far.
Wow. So stomach paralysis and gastroparesis, bowel blockage or of the ileus, blindness, vision problems, blood clots, deep vein thrombosis, or pulmonary embolism are some of the things that people are reporting after taking this drug. Julie Donuts says, stop taking this.
Dump. All right. So that's, but I mean, as a woman, you're aware that in our culture, there's a lot of people want to look good, right? And particularly mm-hmm. in women, a lot sure. of pressure around that. I think it comes from women needing to look good in front of other women.
And that's on steroids with social media being what mm-hmm. it is, and the filters and Instagram and the way people present their lives as being perfect and their families yep. and their bodies and all the rest. So I think it's just increased the pressure on women.
Well, hazard number one then has to be Ozempic face. It's a thing.
It is a thing. I can tell who's taking it. It's weird.
I don't think those people look healthy or good or attractive. They may have lost weight, but I just look at that and there's just something skeletal about that.
There is. And the people, let's be clear, like, did Katy Perry need to take that? Like, no. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there are people that are taking it that are in, you know, musicians or people that are in Hollywood that really don't have a need to take it anyway, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
They're not morbidly obese and yet they take it. And like Ariana Grande is a perfect example of that. She was beautiful. She took it and she, I don't know, she looks like Skeletor.
She looks like she's 60 now.
Yeah, it's very, not all of a healthy sudden, looking in
all
my
of
opinion.
A sudden. But how about this? Robert Mills saying.
There was a bill trying to get Congress to add this crap to covered meds for obesity.
Yeah, it was going to be like a $3 trillion bill.
I remember hearing about that.
Right, because they wanted to get every kid with a BMI, you know, over X on this thing. Trillions of dollars for the pharma companies.
Children?
Trillions, children.
Children?
Yep. They were going to cover anybody who was going to be considered a disability or something or other. But then RFK Jr. came along and said, hey, I know, how about we just get all the sugar out of this and get all the toxins out of our foods instead?
Mm-hmm.
But larger point, Evie, isn't it crazy that we suddenly wake up one day and we're now allowed to talk about this stuff? We couldn't just a few years ago. You couldn't talk about the fact that the pharma companies were trying to kill you or didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
They would, you know, as long as they could make a buck, they really didn't care what happened to you. Same thing for the hospitals, that mm-hmm. our food is literally laced with poisons. Dozens of cases of people going over to Europe and saying, wow, I could eat the pasta and I lost weight and everything was fine. You come back here.
I wasn't bloated and I didn't feel crappy.
Yep. You come back here and you like, I don't even just drink a glass of water and you know, whatever's good. We have poisons everywhere in our situation.
Yeah, we really do in this country.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
It is pretty bad. Anywho, I think these people look awful.
Yeah, I've heard also from firsthand accounts of people I know that have taken this drug, and they said that they felt awful, like just nonstop, almost like irritable bowel syndrome kind of symptoms that they struggled with, and nausea.
We mentioned that the stomach paralysis, the gastroparesis, like it just doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Bowel blockages, those are really not good. None of these things are good.
No.
That's all bad stuff.
That's really unfortunate.
But while this is kind of an unfortunate, haggard Skeletor look, this has popped up now.
According to Epoch Health, Ozempic users face double risk of rare vision loss, studies find. No pain, no warning, just sudden irreversible blindness in one eye. Doctors are calling it a stroke of the optic nerve. It can happen overnight. Now, Nordic researchers are sounding the alarm, warning Ozempic users are of a serious risk.
Okay, so they have this serious risk going on here. And so what they found here is this is published in the International Journal of Retina and Vitreous, the vitreous humor of the eye. Nice name, those guys.
Wow.
Gals, good job naming that. Suggest that the use of Ozempic, which is the semaglutide, more than doubles the risk of developing non-arteritic anterior ischemic optic neuropathy. Fancy way of saying your optic nerve has a blood vessel that gets occluded somehow. It gets a stroke and it dies. So your nerve dies that telegraphs sight from your eye. So N-A-I-O-N, Nion, I guess we'll call that. Yeah, it's just, that's it. And you can reasonably consider it as a stroke of the optic nerve, says Dr. Joseph Rizzo. And like a stroke, you lose function. So, but now, Evie, we have to get to what you were talking about, which is, of course, what do you think your doctors, you found this thing, it's 2x the risk what in the study they did. Mm-hmm. And it, there's this thing, and it's mostly used for as sort of a beauty aid, but the pharma companies are making bank on this thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think your concluding sentence is in this study?
This is a, despite these findings, the Danish researchers caution against the immediate cessation of Ozempic treatment. This is a serious but very rare.
Very rare.
Of course. Often we only learn about this kind of thing after a new drug has been on the market for a few years.
It's been on the market a few years. That's why we would caution against immediately cessating this thing, because it's on the market and we just found out about it. And it's a thing that causes people to go blind. We wouldn't want to rush to judgment here, right?
Yeah, it's rare. Alluding to. It should be emphasized that it is neither more serious nor more common than the rare side effects of many other medicines that we continue to use.
It should be emphasized. Is that not any worse than some of the other stuff we sell?
Oh boy, that's awful.
I mean, this
so they're downplaying it.
Yeah, obviously. Yes, because, you remember the, there's the quote by Upton Sinclair, which is, never expect a man to understand something if his salary requires him not to.
Mm. That's such a good one.
Yeah, I rephrased it.
Never expect a doctor to call for a drug's removal if their salary depends upon that not happening. Chris Martinson.
Yes.
Developed by Novo Nordisk, Ozempic's rise was unstoppable. Launched in 2017, it became a cultural phenomenon when celebrities discovered its weight loss effects. Sales exploded past $20 billion annually. That's huge.
Yeah, $20 billion. So there's 20 billion reasons that doctor said, oh, it's no more rare than other side effects. Yeah, but if that other drug is preventing your heart from stopping, that's a thing. If this drug is just preventing your weight from getting there because you can't exercise appropriate self-control, those aren't the same thing at all, right? A lifestyle choice drug versus, like, if we've suddenly found out that, say, Viagra has no other use except, you know, it's no main noted use, but it made you go blind, right? With some frequency, caused your bowels to stop working, caused all kinds of, they'd pull it from the market.
This, are there kickbacks that go to the physicians who...
100%.
Okay. I had a feeling that would be true.
Yeah, it's all one big circular money train. That's what we learned during COVID. That's what I learned. That's certainly...
Like, if you prescribe this, you get a bonus of whatever.
Yeah. Now, what's fascinating to me is that actually... this thing that these Danish researchers suddenly found came out in a 2024 Journal of the American Medical Association, a JAMA study, and they found a 7x higher risk of vision loss. Yet Novo Nordisk never updated their warning labels.
That's foul.
That's a no-no.
That's a foul.
Right? So now we're going to get into what we call Ozempic lawsuit season. Because that's what's about to happen here now. Because that once you do that, it's no good. No good.
Right.
No good whatsoever. So
according to Aaron Pearsall, by June 2025, the dam broke. 1,800 active lawsuits flooded the courts, a 5x increase in just 1 year. Plaintiffs claim Novo Nordisk knew the risks but chose profits over patient safety. The evidence just keeps mounting.
Mm-hmm. So the lawsuits there, they're observing gastroparesis, stomach paralysis, vomiting, ileus, gallbladder disease, all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also then now the eye thing, mm-hmm. the nion. So the sudden death of your optic nerve. And they just chose to keep it silent. So that's the pharma business model. As long as you make more than you lose in the lawsuits, that's okay.
We're good
to go. That's literally the business model. Not did we help people, not how badly damaged were these lives by our products? Just can we grease enough palms in DC? Can we, you know, queer the regulatory system just enough? Can we overwhelm the ability of the medical journals to appropriately review and study things? Can we direct research funding only to the positive sides of the thing we're selling, not the negative sides? Right? Can we do that? And can we do that at a faster rate than people pile up dead and injured and are able to successfully sue us? This is why they love liability shielding for their vaccines, which are some of the worst products out there.
You forgot one, actually. It's can we shut down all the discussions online on social media?
Oh, that too.
And keep people from finding one another.
Yep.
Remember they did that on Facebook during COVID? Like people were having adverse reactions to things. And they kept taking down those groups, those Facebook groups. It's really sad.
Yep. Yeah.
You're looking at the comments.
I am just looking at a few. I agree with this one, which is, you know, just stay away from their drugs. You will live better and longer. And oh, by the way, you know, now that we have a puppy, I've been reading the same sorts of things from people I read something from a vet who said dogs used to live 12, 14, 15 years. Now it's kind of 7 to 10 because now they're putting all these, you go there and they're just like squirting stuff into them all over the place. And you would be shocked, probably not, to find out that the vaccines and other things they administer to dogs and cats aren't dose controlled. There's like a shot. It's like the most cartoonish thing. We give a shot. Is it a Malamute or is it a Chihuahua? It gets a shot. It's like in an old movie when you got paid in a bag of money. It's like, that's what you got, a bag. Here's your bag, right? Clink, clink. You just would feel it. Clink, clink. You wouldn't check if there was silver or copper or gold.
You could just tell by the weight of it. It was appropriate.
Yeah. Anyway,
crazy.
They just give a shot, but now people are reporting dogs just don't live as long.
And they have all sorts of issues too. They have autoimmune issues. Yeah. They have like digestive things.
Yeah.
I mean, not just dogs, cats as well.
And yep.
I'm sad about that. That makes me angry. Yeah, we're not going to be getting our dog all those shots.
Well,
no way.
Now they're saying they've been slapped with $2 billion of lawsuits, but whatever. It's 10%. It's just 10% of 1 year's haul.
Yeah, they're probably not going to care, are they?
They
and
may not
care. They're not going to stop prescribing it.
No.
For sure. They're not taking it off the market.
No, probably not.
And who knows? It'll even be approved for children by next year.
I'm sure it's already being given to kids off-label. Guarantee it. But there's sometimes you cross a line and you say that's a line too far. There's just something that we're not able to tolerate because it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've made it there, maybe.
Okay. Oh,
it's droopy.
You're gonna make me say this. All right. Ozempic vulva is making women look aged and droopy down there. The rapidity of weight loss can cause visible skin sagging, laxity, and wrinkles throughout the body. Dr. Sherry Ross, an OBGYN in Santa Monica, California, says, all areas of the body can show visible skin changes in response to this significant weight loss, she added, including the lower belly, pubic bones, and inner and outer labia. Well, that stinks.
Obviously, the only adult response to this is to say, well, then I'm just going to stop taking that Ozempic stuff.
Well, there's plastic surgery, obviously.
Okay, you were way ahead of this one. Look what the rest of this article had.
A procedures course. Labia puffing may help.
May help.
The procedure restores volume and fullness via dermal fillers or fat grafting. I'm sorry, this is really gross. Dr. Michael Tahiri, a board-certified OBGYN in LA, notes on his website, the fillers used in labia puffing are comparable to facial fillers. The tiny injections can last up to 8 months a session, and they don't require recovery time.
Problem solution.
Oh, my goodness.
Problem solution. You got...
Wow. So not only... You might not only know from looking at a picture then if somebody's had taken Ozempic. You might go on a date on Tinder and find out later.
Maybe that's too far. No, just the whole idea that we're going to poison ourselves with toxic foods that clearly blow out our insulin pathways so that you know, then we feel compelled to take this shot, which costs $700, $1,000, $1,500 a month, depending on how badly you're getting screwed by your providers and insurance companies. And then when the inevitable happens, we're going to have to get plastic surgery to correct that, you know? And
aren't there other impacts?
It just seems insane. It just seems
like on the brain.
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of stuff I didn't quite cover. There's
things about like depression and
anxiety. You want to fall down a rabbit hole, just type Ozempic disease or illness into Twitter's search bar and have at it. You know, nothing but things to study there. So
hazard stories.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That stinks.
All right. I guess we're gonna go here. So I know we talked about a little bit, so you know a little bit about this, but I just want to get everybody up to speed first very quickly. I'm sure people have heard about this, but it starts here. So this Tom Alexandrovich was caught in a predator trap, pretty standard predator trap, right? You know, somebody was pretending to be a 15-year-old girl and he was communicating with her and using WhatsApp and this other app and sending pictures and saying he wanted to, you know, could she bring a condom and he'd meet her and take her to Cirque du Soleil and that they would have fun afterwards, right? At any rate, his crime was luring a minor using technology, which is a felony, okay? It's a violation of NRS 201.560.4a. It's a felony, and that's him. That's the guy, okay?
Tom Alexandrovich.
Right. Now, this is a famous case because the very first thing he did was get on a plane and go back to Israel, right? He just... off he went. Now, I have to note something here.
Of course he did.
When they first released this, this was a multi-agency thing that they did here, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police. And note what they're saying here when they said, oh, we caught some guys. There was a multi-agency operation. We targeted these child sex predators, got arrested 8 individuals in the last 2 weeks. And it was the Nevada Internet Crimes Against Children, the ICAC. A joint operation included agents from the ICAC and the FBI's Child Exploitation Task Force. So we had feds in there.
Okay. Wow. There's a whole bunch of people in there.
Yep.
Las Vegas Police Department,
the FBI,
blah, 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 Homeland Security investigations.
Yep. Yeah.
Attorney General's office.
Big multi-agency thing. Point being that these aren't rubes. These aren't unsophisticated people. They know who they caught, right?
Right. Okay.
So then... so then it turned out the documents from the from his interview were caught, right? So released.
Released.
What am I trying to say? They were FOIA'd. I don't know if they were FOIA'd or if somebody slipped them out the back door, but Sajid got his hands on them and then released them to the world a couple days ago. First thing, look at his native language.
Russian. He is Hebrew, agreed to speak, and fully understands English, blah, blah, blah.
He waived his rights right away. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll talk to you. Don't know why.
Yep. The Israeli consulate would be notified. Alexandrovich is from Israel and is visiting for the Black Hat Conference, works for the Israeli government agency, and has so for approximately 14 years. And he was meeting with the NSA.
And
met
with several bureau people in the NSA. So
what?
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so we know that. So we know that. But further down in this document were all the things that he said.
Yeah.
These really jumped out at me, right?
Alexandrovich stated he was in shock and he needed to contact someone about his international flight back to Israel.
He said he's right in there. He's like, what I'm worried about is my flight back to Israel, right?
Wow.
They caught this guy. So immediately you have to think flight risk, right?
Oh, yeah.
He stated it was very important. He gets his numbers for his flight. He stated his flight on Friday to New York, then to Israel. Right?
He didn't know the numbers for the Israeli government. His family was there. He needed to get the phone numbers.
This is important because one of the things that they're like, oh, we didn't know he was a flight risk. Like, oh,
did they say that?
Yeah, they were like, oh,
they said that?
Yeah.
How can they say that? That's ridiculous.
It's stupid. It's beyond it. But it's just one of those things, Evie, that we've been asked to swallow. Like, you have to accept this. Like, oh, buildings sometimes fall at free fall speed.
What
are you going to do? Right? You know?
That's unbelievable.
It's just
unbelievable.
Anyway, I reject that stuff out of hand because it's just cray cray. Mm-hmm. So is. Then there's a U.S. attorney. So there's a district attorney, which would handle sort of things at the county level, state mm-hmm. level. And then we have a U.S. attorney, this woman, Sigal Chhatta. So mm-hmm. so she immediately comes out because there's all this blowback. Like, how could you let this guy go? Look what she says.
A liberal district attorney and state court judge in Nevada failed to require an alleged child molester to surrender his passport, which allow him to flee our country. The attorney general at Pam Bondi just called me outraged. And she also called the FBI director, Kash Patel, the individual who fled our country, should have had his passport seized by the state authorities. He must be returned immediately to face justice.
So she's showing up to play tough here for a second. But the truth is that at any point in time, the federal attorney could have filed charges, or the FBI people who actually interviewed him could have taken his passport.
Right. Isn't that they the first thing that they do when you get arrested?
Well, they actually, it's quite common. It's very common.
Isn't it? I mean, I thought it was.
Yeah. In fact, your bail bondsman, whoever bailed him out, mm-hmm. had lost their 10,000 cash. That's gone. But normally your bail bondsman would take it. I mean, it's just like the whole idea that, like, they interviewed him. He sort of waived his Miranda rights, spilled the beans, admitted to everything, and they just let him walk out of there without even a court appearance.
Because
with his passport, because somebody funneled in with 10K. So, but this Chhatta person, we're going to have to dig into this because this is where the story gets a little bit interesting.
Okay.
So, in July of this year, this is really unprecedented, but what just happened here.
All right. From the Society for the Rule of Law, a press release that says more than 100 judges say the U.S. attorney appointee Sigal Chhatta is unfit for office. In a powerful show of support for the rule of law, 116 former judges signed a letter to the chief U.S. District Judge Andrew Gordon of Nevada and his district court colleagues. The letter urges them to resist former President Trump's attempt to bypass constitutional checks and appoint Sigal Chhatta as U.S. Attorney for the District of Nevada. Chhatta is known for incendiary rhetoric and a record of urging weaponization of law enforcement for political ends.
Ah, that's okay. Incendiary rhetoric and known for weaponization of law enforcement for political ends. That's not a good look. It's just not a good look, but it's highly unusual for 116 former judges to sign a letter saying, not this lady. Just, like, she was a known quantity, right?
Just not her.
Known factor within the legal system. Everybody who bumped into her was like, she should not be anywhere near the law, ever, right?
Wow.
So that's Sigal Chhatta, who just tried to throw the actual district attorney under the... Oh, he should have taken the passport. he should have done that.
It's not my fault.
Okay. So it turned out she actually declined to prosecute. Actually declined. Okay.
Oh.
This is from Grok.
Okay.
Right? Doesn't mean it's necessarily right, but...
So Grok says it, meaning the whole situation here.
The declining to prosecute.
Okay. The declining to prosecute aligns with a documented trend. CBS News reports over 60 accused child sex offenders have fled to Israel since 2014, often evading extradition via the law of return. Alexandrovich's release on bail and return fits this pattern. Chhatta's alleged decision to decline federal charges, given her Israeli background, merits investigation for potential bias.
Oh, she's actually an Israeli citizen.
Oh.
That's what she is.
There it is.
So there's this thing called the law of return, which I don't understand if it just applies to child sex predators or not, but it's a known thing. If you commit, child sex crime in a country and you're in danger of getting caught, you can go to Israel if you're Israeli or Jewish, and they'll take you right in and usually protect you. Yep.
Right.
And there's no extradition and none of that because they don't allow that.
Is that the only country that doesn't allow that?
I don't know
what extradition law.
There's all kinds
of
extradition laws out there, but this one's particularly heinous, the law of return. And so this is the important part, Evie. This has happened, like, it's here, you can read about it in the Times of Israel and Haaretz.com, Jerusalem Post. Right?
Wow. Like, Israel, the promised land for pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Israel is trying to legalize pedophilia.
Hollywood director, latest sexual predator to find refuge in Israel. It's just, you can find tons of these, right?
That's gross.
Yeah.
That's really gross. I can't believe we're like participating with this.
Oh, so what? Let's dig a little further into this Chata lady, okay, shall we? Because it turns out she, Seagal had, she deleted her ex account right away, but not before people took screenshots like these.
Uh-oh. Okay, so one of her posts says there are 2 million terrorists in Gaza. Leary was in their homes, and the children, even the children, are part of this. It's not just those carrying rifles and wearing green headbands. The so-called uninvolved civilians are not uninvolved at all.
Saying, oh yeah, they're all terrorists. They're all terrorists. And so if we bomb them and kill them, you know, they're not uninvolved. So, wow. So there's that.
And then she goes on to say, oh, 33,000 Palestinians have been killed? Well, that's too bad. They would have had zero Palestinians killed if they would have released the hostages on October 8th. They want to live by the sword. They can die by the sword. FAFO.
Well, again, this is the collective punishment argument that we've been going round and round on.
It
would not apply any other place, right? Like if you said, well, you know, the plane was hijacked, so we blew the plane up, you know. If the passengers on there were really not involved, they would have done something about it themselves, right? It's just not even logic, but it's really bad, right? But this is the level. I have probably 30 just like this. They're just that gross, right?
Really?
So, yeah.
Like she has a bunch like this?
Yeah, a ton, right? So at any rate, I'm just saying this is not the kind of person you really want in your legal system operating the machine, the levers of power, particularly right. When it comes
and justice
to a federal Israeli citizen who's suddenly caught on child predator charges. Because the thing that this really bothersome about all this is the message is, hey, we reserve the right to rape your kids. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Right. Which just says, you know, and they say that over and over again. But eventually that breaks, right? That really, that breaks down at some point. You need the pitchforks and torches come out.
Well,
because people have finally had enough of all these usurpations and abuses, right? But it's the messaging here is awful.
It is awful. And there's a pattern here, right? We just got through this rigmarole with Epstein.
Well, we didn't get through it, but in the context, in the shadow still of the Epstein awfulness, you would think they would have a little more,
right?
Just a little more sensitivity, and we wouldn't
unbelievable.
I mean, so wow. I mean, here's more, you know, of these.
Yeah, you should read them.
Well, so Wolfson is the DA, and we'll get to him in just a second, right?
Okay.
But the chance of both Chata and Wolfson, particularly not knowing that Tom was a severe flight risk, was exactly zero. Because they know about this, right? And I'm going to show you how they know about this because it's really important. But of course they know about this, right? It's a thing. It's a well-known thing within the Israeli community that this law of return exists, right? Okay. So Jen and Yunes wrote here, I was a criminal defense attorney for many years and never saw a foreign individual arrested and charged for soliciting sex from a minor released on bail and not had his passport seized. This is not believable.
Wow.
It's just frankly not believable.
Wow.
It's just not 100% not believable.
I just have a question though. Do the Israeli people enjoy living with pedophiles? Like, is this something
I don't
appreciate having come back to them? Like, yeah, whatever you've done is totally fine. Just come and reside over here next to me and my children. Like,
I don't know.
How do they?
I would like to know. I can't imagine that's the case, but I don't know. I don't know what the ideology or mentality of this is. I just don't get it. I don't understand. But so Tom's got a couple of lawyers now.
Okay. Of course he does. Prominent Las Vegas attorneys, David Chesnoff and Richard Schoenfeld are representing Alexandrovich. Quote, any suggestion that anybody in authority did anything special for him is completely inaccurate.
Oh, yeah.
Chesnoff told the Review Journal Tuesday. He was treated just as anybody would be who got arrested. And their client, quote, will observe all of his legal obligations and explore all of his legal avenues.
Yeah, I can tell you what his legal avenues are. He has law of return and he's in Israel and he can stay there now.
Uh-huh.
That's his legal avenue.
That's so gross.
They didn't say he's gonna come back and face charges here and any of that stuff.
No, I'm sure he has no intention of coming back and facing the music of what he did.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and then we have to say, if prosecutors formally charge him, what do you mean if? All the other guys got formally charged. Right. Anyway, we'll see.
Mm.
Okay, let's carry on then, because wait a minute. Let's learn more about his lawyers, David Chesnoff and et al.
Steve Wolfson. Okay. Donations to district attorney Steve Wolfson raise specter of pay for play justice in Las Vegas.
Oh, so Wolfson, who let this guy go without taking his passport, has a long relationship with his attorneys.
David Chesnoff and his firm, David Chesnoff Chartered, have donated $30,000 to Clark County District Attorney Steve Wolfson. Chesnoff's legal partner, Richard Schoenfeld, donated another $20,000, while his wife, Diana, donated an additional $10,000.
50 grand. That's pretty big for a local DA from one firm.
That is. The following year, Chesnoff represented soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo, who was accused of rape in 2009. Despite extensive evidence, Wolfson never prosecuted a case against the soccer player.
Oh, so I'm going to guess that 50 grand, at least part of that came from Cristiano.
Probably.
It's just, we got a little pay for play here. Raises the specter of pay for play. That looks so bad.
Oh, it's really nasty.
That looks really bad.
Oh, gross. And it gets worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Since 2013, billionaire casino mogul Steve Wynn's companies, Wynn Resorts and Wynn Las Vegas, have together given Wolfson more than $20,000. In 2018, the Wall Street Journal published allegations from a series of women who worked with Wynn that he had sexually assaulted them. Again, Wolfson declined to prosecute any of the cases.
Ta-da! All just coincidences. Just, of course. Just lots of coincidences stacking up around this Wolfson guy. So let's take...
The Las Vegas attorney honored with Hebrew University Award. Among the dignitaries recognizing Chesnoff were Nevada Governor Joe Lombardo, Clark County District Attorney Steve Wolfson.
Oh, and... there he is. And by the way, Joe Lombardo is the guy who was the police chief, I believe, at the time when the Las Vegas shootings went down.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And they queered the whole thing and they botched that's the entire right. investigation and all of that stuff. So it's just like, listen, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's all fixing mob and you know,
yeah,
gross. It's gross stuff. But so Wolfson has a very tight relationship, is all I want to say, with the lawyers who are representing Tom. Okay.
So, all right.
So there it is. Now, there were a couple of people who were on this really early on this story, Evie, and one of them was this guy, Sean King. I don't like Sean King on a lot of subjects, right? Particularly he's kind of a race baiter. That's how I characterize him. But he started reporting early and often on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened to him immediately.
In the past 24 hours, my wife, who is a school principal, has had every social media account and her laptop hacked into. Even with two-factor authentication, all of this has happened since I've been documenting the scandal around the Israeli pedophile Tom Alexandrovich.
Who happens to run their tech response center. He is the person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so this that's is hard. Not weird at all,
like social media account and laptop. Right. So even with two-factor authentication, so somebody professional is targeting him. And look, the message is very clear. It's like, hey, drop this or we'll come in after you. And we can you don't mess with us. We make your life miserable. But as soon as something like this happens, if you live in an honest country, the FBI is all over this. Mm-hmm. Right. Our citizens do not get hacked and attacked by foreign agents.
That's right.
Because they're reporting on uncomfortable stuff. Full
that's
stop.
Right. Oh, and that's happening in other places as well, as we know.
But. We're probably going to get treated to another Kash Patel tweet where they caught somebody setting a school bus on fire and somebody who dined and dashed out of a 7-Eleven, right? it's getting really bad, Evie.
It's really bad
at this point.
It's gross. Well, I mean, this probably wouldn't have happened if he was still in jail. I mean, maybe it would have, but he's probably in Israel just hacking her crap. I mean,
probably.
That was probably him.
Yep. And remember, Grok got suspended from X.
Yeah.
Grok got suspended. They chased it back. Grok chased it back and it came from Israel. right? Because there was too much stuff going on Grok's, that Grok felt aggrieved, you know, about some things that were happening a little bit, added up some data, and somebody in Israel took exception to that and got Grok suspended.
This doesn't bode well, does it?
No.
This is makes me nervous.
No, but
I don't like how this is going.
This will surprise you, though.
CBS can't not talk about it enough.
This was just this
no
morning.
Results.
I was like, CBS News, Alexandrovich, nothing. Zero.
Of course.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some really, I think, truly incendiary evidence that's just been revealed about the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment and how the EPA behaved. It's really not a good thing, but we'll be right back after we hear from. I know what's plaguing you. You feel like everybody around you has gone insane. Hello, Dr. Chris Martinson here. Look, we've built a world on cheap oil, endless growth, and borrowed time. But the cracks are showing. Inflation's up, resources are thinning, and the old rules don't seem to apply anymore. I've tracked this for years, from the crash course to today, and I'm not here to sugarcoat it. At Peak Prosperity, I'm your information scout, hunting down the facts, cutting through the noise, and showing you how to adapt. This isn't just information, it's a lifeline. The game is changing fast. Are you ready? Subscribe to Peak Prosperity now, and let's get ahead of the curve. Welcome back, everybody. If you do like your news digested, condensed, made sense of, I'm your guy. I'm the information scout. That's what I do. Evie, isn't that right? I do that?
You do do that.
Every
you
day,
do that
all
every
day.
Every day, all day. And just a small bit of what you find is presented here on the Signal Hour. There's so much more back at Peak Prosperity, including wonderful conversations with other members who enjoy chewing on this and trying to understand what's going on in our world and how we can best prepare ourselves to react to it and to be resilient.
Thank you. Remember this? I call this section Gooberment Caught Being Weasels again.
Again.
I have to be as dismissive as I can. So we're in this fourth turning kind of an environment, which means that we're losing faith in our institutions. And I'm just another termite nibbling away in the foundation of that whole thing because they deserve to have all of that loss. Remember, I believe in that saying that says, when the people fear the government, you have tyranny. And when the government fears the people, you have freedom. And I'm a freedom guy, right? I think that I trust people to make the best decisions in their own lives. And I would never think that I would have the need, right, or obligation to instruct other people thousands of miles away exactly what they should be or should not be doing, particularly if I was failing at my job. And nothing says failure quite like this instructive episode around that. Remember that? Or you remember that when that that thing happened there?
And I do. Train.
So
derailment.
So below you there, that's taken from a plane. That's the blot of soot from the fire, but they lit it on fire on purpose. So they had a train derailment. You see that picture there?
Yep.
That's just some stuff venting off because there were a couple of damaged cars.
Right.
And the EPA said, you know what? You know, it's a good idea. Let's light it on fire. Right. Now, of course, when you light stuff like that on fire, you know what happens? It creates all kinds of related compounds. So if you just had vinyl chloride before, which wasn't good, now you're going to have all these complicated things like dioxins and polychlorinated hydrocarbons. And it's just going to turn into a soup
of
stuff.
Which don't sound good to me.
So they said for a long time, they ran with like, oh, this train derailed and exploded. Like, nope, you see it leaking. This video shows what happens when they lit it up.
Why would they light it on fire?
Because somehow they thought that would make it go away better or something, right? I don't know.
Humans, we're so stupid.
Right, and this is the community of East Palestine. You know, I don't even know if they sat down and said, which way is the wind blowing? Is this a good time? They're just like, I know. Let's light it on fire. Really just a very ignorant decision there, as it turns out.
Must have been a young boy at the helm of that decision making.
Yeah, 13-year-old Chris totally would have lit that on fire.
I know.
So this is interesting. So now new FOIA revelations have just come out, and Let's listen in.
The Environmental Protection Agency is supposed to be keeping our air and our water clean, not conducting surveillance and smear campaigns against independent scientists. And yet, in a News Nation exclusive, newly released emails show that is what was happening after the East Palestine train disaster in February of 2023. The target? An environmental scientist whose test contradicted the EPA's narrative that there were no dangerous levels of toxins in the area. Local residents were told the official story. Their neighborhoods were safe. And some of those who dared to disagree found themselves in the EPA's crosshairs. This is just the latest example of EPA issues in East Palestine, and News Nation has stayed on top of the story. Just last month, we showed you how a report found the agency in Norfolk Southern manipulated soil testing data following the disaster. Oh, yeah. News Nation investigative correspondent Rich McHugh has the latest for us.
The drone just came over us now, didn't it?
Yep.
When environmental scientist Scott Smith began testing for toxins in East Palestine, drones were monitoring his movements. Someone was watching. Because months after the open burn of vinyl chloride and after the EPA told residents it was safe to come home, his test results showed exactly the opposite. Smith found extremely elevated levels of dioxins in the soil in East Palestine. In the spring of 2023, after we reported Smith's findings, and former EPA Administrator Judith Enck said the EPA should pay attention to Smith's test results.
His work should encourage the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency now to go and grab some other filters and do similar testing.
Okay, so this is exactly what happened, right, with 9/11. We're like, oh, yeah, we should have studied the steel, but we carted it all off, covered it up with tarps, hauled it away and melted it down before anybody could actually look at it, right? So this is what they do when they ride in and you say, oh, she's like, oh, you know, the EPA maybe should look at his results. This is a private man. He is an individual. He uses his own money. He happens to be a highly competent, you know, chemical specialist, but he goes in, takes samples, studies them. Our government, with hundreds of millions of dollars, tens of thousands of workers, billions of dollars of budget, they don't do any of it. They just don't do it.
No, they don't.
They probably just. And now she's like, you know, maybe we should look at that, what he's doing. Like, no, you should have actually done it yourself. Honestly.
It's so gross.
To be totally honest.
Ugh. So what are they just like pushing?
But that's not what happened. Instead, EPA emails show the agency began collecting Smith's personal information, tracking his movements, distributing his whereabouts to more than 50 EPA employees. They even circulated photos of his dog.
It's troubling because this is a matter of transparency and truth and protecting public health. What the EPA seems to have done here in East Palestine is they were more interested in controlling the narrative and controlling what was going out to the community, from the community and back to the community. They were definitely controlling the narrative of nothing to see here, no long-term health impact.
Smith continued to test on over 30 trips to East Palestine. RFK Jr. met with him in East Palestine and called him an extraordinary advocate for the people. Smith says taxpayer dollars should be spent on testing, not surveilling him.
They don't want to look for the full spectrum of chemicals that I look for. And instead of sitting down with me and having a dialogue for the benefit of the community, they launched this, you know, smear and campaign and undermining. And it's, you know, It's pretty clear in their own words. They're clearly not serving the community they're supposed to protect. And it's not just East Palestine, Rich. It's a systemic thing.
The emails show the EPA was also tracking residents, too. Outspoken voices in the community like Jamie Wallace. She was included in some of the agency's weekly social listening reports.
You know, they tried to control this narrative and act like none of us had any long-term health risk, and we're not stupid. We see it. We feel it.
The EPA said in a statement, "We are very concerned by claims that have come to light over the past few months.
Yes.
The Trump administration is committed to maximum transparency, and as such, we intend to conduct a thorough review of decisions made in the aftermath of the train derailment. We will work to ensure the health and safety of the people of East Palestine."
So, I mean, this is like, come on. This is under Biden, right? But I don't think he made necessarily the EPA that bad. over time, they've just turned into, just like the FDA, advocates for corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do anything they can to block the people from getting accurate information that might alarm them or mm-hmm. cause them to sue those nice companies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, again,
that's right.
That's tyranny when you fear your government. Like, we're up against poor ladies, like, we're sick. We would like some answers. What are we sick with and by? Dioxins are some of the worst things out there.
Yeah, what do they cause?
Like, well, that was the stuff in Agent Orange that caused all the birth defects and cancers.
Ooh.
What, because, you know, they sprayed Agent Orange, but it was contaminated with certain levels of dioxin. And then our Vietnam vets would come back. And for decades, they tried to pretend like that wasn't a thing, but it eventually came out. So dioxins last forever. They're almost permanent when they get in your soil, and they're highly toxic. Like a single kilogram of you had pure dioxin would be enough to contaminate, I think, something like 100 square miles, make it unlivable. It's like ridiculously potent. It's terrible. Parts per billion, kind of bad.
Whoa.
Not milligrams of
it. And burning it makes it
parts
better?
Per yeah. Well, they created it by burning it. That's what they did. And so, yes, that's Scott Smith down there. He's definitely one of the good guys in this story. And let's listen on this.
For more, we are joined by Scott Smith, independent testing expert and founder of the nonprofit Blue Shirt Justice League. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hannah, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
You've done independent testing of your own in East Palestine, of the soil, the water, the crops. What did you find?
27 trips, 31 rounds of testing, and I found a mixture of chemicals unprecedented, from dioxins to polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons mm-hmm. to persistent chemicals that do not go away, that build up in your body.
So you think these residents' complaints are valid now that you're learning exactly what's in the soil, what's in the water, what's in the plants?
Yes, and it's pretty simple. I say you can't find what you don't look for, mm-hmm. and they were not testing for any of these chemicals. And now we have the CDC in on it with the EPA. You can't find what you don't look for. Totally unacceptable. My heart totally goes out to the residents. It is, and to gaslight these residents in East Palestine is just unacceptable. And it's not just East Palestine, Hannah. It's over and over again for the last 29 years, over 75 different disasters I've been involved in trying to test. So this is why every community needs to care, because it could be your community next, where they blame the victims, you know, and there's been recent events in Conyers, Georgia and Moss Landing. So that's why I'm saying everyone needs to pay attention here, because it's unacceptable and it has to stop with these captured agencies.
I'm glad you said that. This isn't isolated to East Palestine. This could happen anywhere. Do you think the CDC and these other agencies deliberately didn't test the soil and the other things around the town?
Yes, you can't find what you don't look for. And you can call it corporate capture, undue influence. The billion-dollar companies, they get their narrative. They knew.
Remember NIST, NIST, came out with a report on Building 7, and they said no evidence of explosives was found. And you had to read all the way to the footnotes to find out they actually didn't test for. So it was technically correct that they said no evidence was found.
Right.
But it was also true that they didn't actually test for any, so there couldn't have been any evidence, right?
It's just, these monkeys.
Yeah. So Scott Smith with his blue shirt, go. This is awesome.
This does not help my faith in humans. It just doesn't.
Nibble. We're termiting today, big time. So this just came out. So this is, again, this is in Chemistry World. And they write here, quote, "Now the Government Accountability Project, GAP, has published a 7 March 2023 letter from Ralph Dolhoff, who has served as the EPA on-scene coordinator for decades, to Mark Ferries, the chief executive of Project Navigator, an environmental consulting management firm that specializes in Superfund site remediation." Sounds chummy. "The email, which was obtained through a Freedom of Information request, appears to show that the agency relied on the rail firm's testing methods." The rail firm, you don't say. "And agreed not to test for 5 organochlorine compounds, such as 2,3,4,6 tetrachlorophenol, et cetera, all the rest of those. In its soil sampling plan, these compounds can be indicators for dioxin formation, according to GAP." Listen to this. "The letter, which was also sent to Norfolk Southern's attorneys, doesn't offer any scientific justification for deciding not to screen for those 5 chemicals." They just didn't. because they just didn't want people to know. And by the way, they have all the goods on this stuff. You can follow links at a lot of these things, and you can see the actual emails that got FOIA'd out, pictures of his dog, all of that stuff. Some of them, they don't have all the black bar read actions up top, so we can actually see who was in there. The GAP, when we go there, we find they say, well, you know, the recent FOIA documents released, you know, show all this stuff here about Scott Smith. Quote, within a week of Smith's first media interview on dioxin elevations in East Palestine, and within 72 hours of Smith's Fox News March 2023 interview discussing his proven tests of the air, soil, and water in homes of East Palestine that showed contamination far beyond typical baseline levels seen in unaffected communities. It's a fancy way of saying, yeah, this place is poisoned. EPA officials sprang to action, right? They began collecting his personal information, tracking his movements. They monitored his social media posts, circulating photos of a dog, distributed his whereabouts. You saw the drone overflights they were doing on him.
Oh my gosh.
When Smith offered to share his test results in reciprocity with the EPA, private guy spending his own money, he's going to share the test results.
Like, let's sit down and talk about this.
The agency never responded.
Oh, just fire them all.
Yeah.
Just fire them.
All right. So now we're going to have to pull FEMA into this real quick.
After officials burned five tankers, 116,000 gallons of toxic vinyl chloride over East Palestine.
You ready?
I'm ready. Let's get out of here.
We basically nuked a town with chemicals so we could get a railroad open.
Residents here were sick and crying out for help.
My eyes feel like they're going to fall out of my head. They're bulging out of my head.
In September 2023, 7 months later, President Biden issued an executive order sending a FEMA executive to East Palestine to assess the unmet needs of the community. But new documents from FEMA obtained through the Freedom of Information Act show extensive coordination between FEMA, the White House, National Security Council, EPA, and the Department of Justice, voicing serious concerns about health, toxins, and the unmet needs of East Palestine following the train derailment. But
the first need that these people would have had would have been for them to say, hey, there's the really bad toxins. You got to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The second thing you would do in a situation like that, before you send another $30 billion to Israel or $100 billion to Ukraine or whatever else they're doing,
mm-hmm.
right? You'd say, wow, we're going to spend a few $100 million housing these people, getting them out of harm's way.
Right.
Right. Because there's
Isn't
nothing
that what FEMA is supposed to do.
You would think. You would think.
Sorry.
Like, that's the first thing you do. Like, that's absolutely, you know.
Oh, this makes me burn.
But you know what? You know what? But again, this is that subtle message which says, you know, these are the communities that they traffic your children from. These are the poor people. The message is very clear. Not only do we not care about you at all, we're going to lie. We're going to gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In fact, we may even run studies on you to see, you know, is this an effective way to exterminate people or, you know, we're curious about the health effects of living in dioxin, right? Or something. They'll study you. That'd be about it, the most interest you could get out of
that's
them.
So gross.
I mean, that's really the message here.
And also they were, I mean, wasn't this like a voting district that they didn't, I mean, people used to talk about that being.
Oh yeah. It could have been probably a red district and it was under Biden, maybe that, but honestly, the EPA has been doing this stuff for a long time.
Oh, I believe it.
They're not our friends in this story. That's just how it is.
Publicly, their message was nothing to see here.
It showed that FEMA knew healthcare was the number one issue.
Leslie Pacey is an investigator with the Government Accountability Project. They sued to get these documents when FEMA refused to turn them over.
They also knew that they called this plume a really toxic plume. They knew that there would be the potential for cancer clusters.
The agency noted the occurrence of a cancer cluster in East Palestine is not zero and expressed the need for a quote.
It's not zero, which means they ran their models. They're like, it's something very much larger than zero.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is.
Tripwire to identify cancer clusters.
It was only discussed internally. And it actually was discussed all the way up to the White House. There's White House officials and National Security Council officials discussing the dangers of the cancer cluster potential and the health issues, and discussing whether or not to release the unmet needs report to the public and to the media.
Mm-hmm. They never released the unmet needs report to the public or the media. And the FEMA coordinator sent here by Biden wouldn't meet with residents.
a lot of us emailed and called that person and never got through. Eventually, there was something said. He didn't need our anecdotal reports.
He was nicknamed by residents as the ghost of October because they were expecting him to be there in October, yeah. But never could get a hold of him.
Now we know why. This email reveals that the FEMA coordinator was told not to engage with residents. Residents here say it's criminal negligence.
How does that make you feel?
It's infuriating. We're supposed to believe that's not how our country runs.
Mm.
And I'm starting to see that that's how our country has always run.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Boom. Boom. That's the issue there. That's the issue.
Wow.
This
you
is...
terminated more of my faith. I didn't know I had any left.
Sorry. But... did I find a remaining strand of
you
wood?
You did. There's a sill right there. It's now gone.
The corner sill. Well, I think we have to face this stuff directly, and we have to really go at it because it's important to realize what we're up against. Because, you know, my residual hope, such as it is that, you know, and I saw a lot of people do this with Trump, and I was even hopeful when Trump first came in because I'm like, oh, we're going to get Doge, and he was talking about auditing Fort Knox, and we're going to get this accountability, and then, of course, we're 200 days in, and none of that's happened, right? Mm-hmm. So. Fine.
And you can tell who manages him.
But we're facing what I call adult-sized predicaments, right? So quick definition. A problem has a solution, right? Even like having dioxin in your soil, you can remediate it, right? It's a problem. You might have to strip off the top 6 inches and incinerate them and bring in new topsoil, but it's addressable. That's a problem. A predicament just has an outcome and you have to manage it. So we're in the era of predicaments right now. It's why we preach and talk about resilience and being highly resilient, because there's going to be uncontrolled things coming along because we don't have adults in charge at this point in time. It mm-hmm. should be as simple as can possibly be to make the decision not to put toxic substances into children. Should be non-negotiable. Should be a very simple, easy decision to take a passport away from mm-hmm. a child predator from a nation with a known law of return, right? It's easy. These things, every time these things happen and we see that they're actually quite hard to get the right things done, and then you start stacking it up and you see this pattern, which is given the choice between doing the right thing and the dark thing, right? So the evil thing, the thing that I could tell the truth or I could tell the lie, our government has now defaulted across all of its agencies into hiding, lying, and doing things that fundamentally are against the better interests of the health and prosperity of the people of this country, except for a very tiny elite, right? But of course, they skate by in this whole thing. So the longer that goes on, the chance that we're going to get a white knight, elect the right person, we're going to be able to straighten this out and fly right. We saw that with Elon Musk, this should have been the most brain dead simple thing in the world, which is we're going to stop wasteful spending. No more transgender pride rallies in Kabul, Afghanistan, right? Simple stuff.
Right. Now we have homeless on the street in LA or whatever. Right.
But they fought that. Somebody, the system, the denizens of DC fought it and fought it successfully and won, right? So that says that, look, the chance of us like straightening up and like installing small modular nukes in time and being thoughtful and prudent with our remaining hydrocarbon reserves of oil and gas so that we can build towards a better future, figuring out how we're going to, you know, actually get regenerative agriculture in because we're just strip mining our soil. And of course, growing food seems to be an important thing, right? On and on. Like we have to start making very different decisions. And so when I see stuff like this and there's no consequences, that just means that you'd better buckle up and get ready because we're not going to face these predicaments well or at all. We're just going to sail right into them, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to insist.
Full tilt.
Yeah, the ignoramuses in the story, they're going to insist mm-hmm. on being just dummies right to the bitter end, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We're going to do the wrong things until the whole thing collapses. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the path we're on.
And they're not going to take any ownership for it. So believe me, I mean, I feel like my inner, I'm going to get my pitchfork rising up in me in anger that I've not ever had before. But I'm frustrated with these people. And I think a lot of the American people, and probably those across the globe in their own countries deal with this as well. We're frustrated with leadership acting like this. It's not okay that we pay billions of dollars of tax money into these mm-hmm. agencies and they get to act like this with, you know, impunity. It's ridiculous. It has to
Zero
stop.
Consequences.
It has to stop. We have to do something about it.
I agree. And I don't think just it seems too big to just sort of vote him out. Right. By the way, we don't even have secure voting systems. And,
right,
you know, both parties agree they like it that way. You know, nobody wants to do anything about that.
I know.
Right. Well, yep. Trump did say that he wanted to get rid of paper ballots and implement national voter ID, mm-hmm. which would go a long way towards getting rid of some of the shenanigans. But if you don't get rid of those fraudulent, easily hacked electronic machines, doesn't matter.
Nothing happens.
It could be the most purely non-fraud election at the level of casting the vote. But if the next layer up in the counting mm-hmm. is all hackable and corrupt, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's irrelevant.
Oh, and worse. I mean, if things are going ahead with all of our digital surveillance that they're getting, right? If mm-hmm. if these are with us every single moment of our day and they record our conversations, they know all of the decisions we make in our lives, and we're basically tracked, there's not a chance we're going to have the opportunity to communicate and find other like-minded individuals, which mm-hmm. is why we do what we do. It's why we have Peak Prosperity, which is an organization that has come together with other like-minded individuals to talk about these issues
in a reasonable way.
And we also hold a gathering, which we have one coming up. We do it every year, and it's so that people can get face to face with each other in the same room without these devices beside us and talk about what's real and what's truly happening.
Our summit is September 12, 13, 14 at Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire. Tickets available at peakprosperity.com. And I'd love to see you there. I'm really looking forward to it. It's kind of like I find myself, it's like my relief. I get to be around people and have non-insane conversations where you mm-hmm. can talk about all this stuff.
Right.
Without having to start at square zero and people looking at you going, oh, right. That doesn't seem, you know.
And you don't even have to talk about it if you don't want to. That's the nice part, is that you're not trying to agree on reality. Like, you know that you share a reality with most of these people that have gathered yeah. as a result of your work, Chris, primarily the crash course and other things. And anyway, we do hope you'll join us. If you feel inclined, this is your invitation.
Come for Chris, but stay for everybody else. Yeah, that's fine. That's the model. I've always wanted it to be that way. We've created a community, is what we're saying, and it's a really great community. And you would be welcome and invited to come be part of that and see if it fits for you. Mm-hmm. So with that, Evie, you want to bring this home for us?
Yeah. Let me grab what I had to bring up one of my all-time favorite poems. I just love it. And it's called The Invitation. I haven't shared it in a long time on here. It says, "It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for, and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow, if you have been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, to be realistic. Remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, if you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul, if you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it is not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the full moon, yes. Doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after a night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. Doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. Doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments." That's by Araya Mountain Dreamer.
And with that, thank you everybody for being here as part of this Signal Hour. And we'll be back next Wednesday. Evie?
Great to have you here. Thanks for joining us, and have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
Adios, everybody. We'll see you next time.